You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and everywhere online on God's magnificent planet, Miss Ellen.
That's right. www.1510wwbc.com, and you can listen to us live. You just hit that listen live button. And you'll hear us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive all of the shows by date. Under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, you just check out the Monday dates between 1 and 2, and you'll see the download there available. Of course, afterward, well, I kind of edit it up a little bit, add the pictures and a little blog about our guests, and those are on all of our social media platforms under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, as well as our website, which is sitamediainc.com.
That's right. And the voice.
Happy November.
That's right. November, December. Everybody's talking about their Christmas trees already.
I know.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, my name is Sita Biggie, and my co-host is Ellen O'Neill, who's been with me for, God, almost 15 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I know.
Allie Tamber is here, and Allie's also one of our co-hosts, and she comes and sits with us on Mondays, keeps herself busy. She enjoys it. We like it.
It does keep me busy.
And so we sit here on Mondays and we talk to people right here in the United States. Every state is included. And in Florida, and in Brevard County, Florida, whatever people want to talk about, financial literacy, kitchen table topics about probably buying a home, getting a mortgage. Some people like to talk about the environment. Others like to talk about homelessness and women's rights and voting. And the politicians come on to try to get a vote and tell us their platform. Whatever your platform is, this is the show for it. We call ourselves Fair and Balanced in the right way. And we've become like a show for authors. Lots of authors and poets and writers, they have a story to tell. And today's no different. We've got a gentleman calling in from California. I forgot to ask him what part of it. His name is J-Rod, and he's calling in to speak about his newest novel, Treasure of Sherwood, which, as you all know, it's all about the legend Robin Hood. The guy
right.
who takes from the rich and gives to the poor. From the poor.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
The man in tights.
Yeah.
Our second
segment.
Well,
that was a different takeoff movie, but yes.
Yeah. And our second segment is going to be with the president of the Zonta Club here in Melbourne, Kathy Green. And Kathy is a friend of Ellen's and a friend of mine. And we're so grateful that the Zonta Club has been one of our supporters of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends from the day we started. Right?
Right.
So, Kathy,
and we've been exposed to
here.
the best chocolate in the world.
That's
because
right.
of the Zonta Club.
So you'll be on the second segment, and Mr. J-Rod is on the phone. He'll be on the first. But before we go to the telephone, we just want to tell all our listeners that we have renewed our contract for another year on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So we will be here for another year. We thank our sponsors. We thank our guests. And we're asking all our listeners, we don't care which side you vote, but please go on and exercise your right to vote. People died for that right. And as everybody knows, I am the voting queen of the universe. I vote in local elections, in state, in federal. I just feel so empowered when I cast that vote. I feel like I'm doing a service. And it makes me very sad that people are born in the greatest nation on earth, this country right here, the United States. And they'll spend time to bad talk and say what's not going right in their life, but they won't vote.
Well, I was very encouraged when I went to go vote and then again brought a few friends to go vote. And every time the poll workers had said that either we had arrived at the right time or maybe one of the instances we had an hour wait. But I was very encouraged that it has been consistently a wait during the day at a lot of these polling locations, which just means to me that more and more people are out there. I've been to many presidential elections where I was in and out in 10 minutes. Yeah. And like,
well, I know we have a few public service announcements, yes, but we're going to do that at the end of the segment, okay, because I think Mr. J. Rudd is already on the phone.
Okay.
And I know he is raring to go to tell us a little bit about himself. And for our listeners, we do have really awesome people that come on the show. Mr. Rudd did so much. He he's retired from his position as professor and chair of the English department at the University of Central Arkansas. He's an author of numerous books, and I am just grateful that I was able to get him to call in on our show. Mr. J, thank you for taking the time to call in from California.
No, I'm calling in from Arkansas.
Oh, you are? Why did it? I don't know why, yeah. on our Facebook, I said, all right, we will fix that, because my friend told me that you were in California, so that's even better. So you were on the same time with us. No?
No, I'm an hour behind.
Oh, that's not so bad. That's even better. No wonder you said that you had it on your calendar, because we've had people that missed calling in because they lived in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
So great. Well, thank you for taking the time to call in. This is why we say our show is fun. It's unscripted.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very educational. And we give out valuable information in a fun way. It's almost like you're having coffee with us. But Danny won't let us have the coffee in the station, so we make believe that we have coffee. Yes.
I can have some here.
That's right, Danny. Now, there you go. So talk to us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into writing and English literature? Because now you have all of us thinking about the Renaissance period and medieval times and swords and, you know, men in tights and good-looking men in tights.
Okay, now you're talking. I know, right, exactly.
They didn't really wear tights. No. That's only in the movies.
Oh, that was only in that one show.
Only in the movies, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I was a professor of English, and my specialty was medieval literature, and Chaucer was particularly my main focus, but also Arthurian literature about King Arthur, which has been popular now for almost 1,000 years. And I got into writing because I was very interested in, I read a lot of mysteries, especially medieval mysteries, things like Ellis Peter's Brother Cadfael series, and there's several others that I just devoured because I really liked them. And then I thought, well, you know, somebody ought to write mystery stories about King Arthur. And I decided I could be that somebody. And so I wrote the first book in the Merlin Mysteries series back in 2001. And it took me 11 years to find a publisher, but then I did. And after that, I put out about one a year. So I have a 6-book series on King Arthur. Actually, it's the detective is Merlin.
That's cool.
The story arc of the Round Table, through these mysteries. When I killed Arthur off, and Merlin, well, they're not dead. They're at the Isle of Avalon.
Of course.
You have quite an imagination. I remember when I went to London and, you know, we went to some of the sites, and you could see those dungeons, the castles. And I would think about the men and women that were in those castles and locked up and died in them from starvation and whatever, you know. And as I read your bio, I'm thinking, what an imagination. So where do you get the, what made you start to write fiction? There has to be a moment when you said, I'm going to start writing these stories and tell, you know, you talk about each character in a different way.
Yeah, it was when I thought I could write a mystery. I can make these stories into mysteries. So the first one, there's a section of of Mallory, Thomas Mallory, wrote the Lamort d'Arthur, which is kind of the last medieval retelling of the Arthur story, and he wrote it in the 15th century. There's a section of that book in which Queen Guinevere is accused of murdering this Irish knight because he's at a feast of hers where he eats an apple and the apple's poisoned and he dies. And I thought, well, heck, that'd be a great mystery.
Yeah.
Merlin has to prove that Guinevere didn't kill this guy and that somebody else did. So that's what got me started.
Well, and I see that on your bio that you're a lover of community theater as well. Are you like seeking out, because I could see myself doing this,
yeah.
That I would seek out a part in a particular play. And certainly there's a lot of, especially in our area as well, there are a lot of those medieval plays that are going on, very Shakespearean, Renaissance type of plays that are going on here in local community theater. I could just see myself seeking out a part that would help me write something like this of what you're explaining. Do you get any of the motivation from that as well?
Not specifically, but having been in a number of plays, that does help my writing because my books tend to be a lot of dialogue. And every time I'm writing a character and a character's dialogue, I think about it in terms of a play. I think about it as if it's an actor speaking these lines. And so when I change characters, it's like I'm taking a different part. So having acted does help a lot in the writing process, especially in conversations.
So people write stories, whether they want to tell a story about their lives or maybe something happened to them, and they want to, you know, speak to others about that and say, I'm going to use my experience to help other people. But you decided that you were going to be specific with the legend of Robin Hood and King Arthur.
Yeah, that's
so,
the current.
Right. So what specifically was it about these two men that made you say, this is what I am going to write about, the legend of Robin Hood and King Arthur?
They really are the two most enduring legends in English literature. And there really isn't anything like them. The legend of King Arthur really starts back in the 12th century, and writers have written about him ever since. And every time they do, they kind of add something to the story. Robin Hood has been popular for hundreds of years. Also, the earliest reference to Robin Hood goes back to the 14th century, and people have written about Robin Hood in different ways. Robin Hood is usually, at least in the early years, his stories were told in ballads, and Arthur's stories were told in long romance narratives. So it was Arthur was sort of the high class hero. It was the courts and the castles that told his story. Robin Hood was the low class hero. It was the guys in the bar singing ballads that told his story.
Right. So, Jay, this has
been around for a long time.
Jay, this is Allie. I was wondering would we find your stuff in historical fiction, or is it all fiction? How do you know? Where do you go from there with whether it's you stick to the story or change it around or anything?
Well, you might find it in mysteries, and you might find it in historical fiction because it's kind of both.
Yeah. Was there,
if you're looking for it,
was there a King Arthur?
Sorry.
Was there actually a King Arthur?
No.
No. So it's all storytelling.
Some people will claim there was, but yeah. The earliest reference to anybody by the name of Arthur is a 9th century monk who wrote about the character. There does seem to have been somebody named Artorius who was a British Celtic hero who fought against the Anglo-Saxons when they invaded the country back in the 5th century. And he became legendary because he was the last one of the Britons to have any success fighting off the Saxons. But there was never a king by that name.
Yeah.
And all the rest is just kind of
storytelling
that have gotten attached to him over the years.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. J-Rod. He is the author of a new series of mystery novels revolving around the legend of Robin Hood, the third of which, Treasure of Sherwood, was published this year in 2024. So, Mr.
Right.
Rod, what kind of research is actually needed to write fiction set in the medieval times? I mean, I can't imagine how much research you had to do. Of course, being an English professor helped, and having your own podcasts between the covers with your wife, that also helped, because you get a lot of people that call in and stuff. But what kind of research did you have to do yourself?
Well, a lot of it I had done over the 40 years of teaching. So, you know, it was a lot of stuff I already knew. But if you're writing a historical novel, there are things that come up that, you know, you have to just find out. It's not something that comes up sort of normally, like, what would they have been eating at this particular meal?
Yeah, do they use forks and knives?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. What kind of underwear did they wear?
Really? Good question.
Yeah, I mean, when I get to a point in the story where I need to know what are they going to have for dessert, I'll get I'll go to a website, or I'll get a book about medieval banquets and what kinds of things they served, what was more likely to be served at in this country this time of year. So those little details do take a lot of research.
And you know, the thing is, too, like when you compare in today's world to the medieval times, and you look at the tensions in the social class, you look at the people who feel downtrodden, you look at the rich, mm-hmm. the super rich, you kind of like a guy like Robin Hood, because Robin Hood evolved with Maid Marian and King Richard, and then you had Little John, and then stories how did, like, Robin Hood did have land at one time, and the king, the bad king, took it away, the bad guy, right? And so you look at today's world, and you're like, well, wait a minute, all the stuff that went on in the medieval times, and they had this hero, Robin Hood, to help. I'm kind of like, we need a Robin Hood now, you know?
Well, they took all the phone booths away, so Superman can't.
That's right, that's right.
We need a Robin Hood.
Because Robin Hood, he was well loved. He was a trickster, but people loved him, right?
And you a lot of No, go ahead.
You've personified him in your books, and all of us who are in awe that you could take such a character, it's almost like you brought him to life. You know.
Well, I've tried.
You did.
And you were nominated also for an Eric Hoffer Book Award as well, which is kind of cool.
That's true. I didn't win it.
That's okay. Being nominated is still quite the honor.
Big deal.
Yes. So why do you think, Professor, why do you think people in 2024 should be interested in books set in the medieval times in England? Are there similarities with what happened back then, like I just said, with the bad guy, good guy, rich guy versus poor guy? I mean, what do you think people should, what's the takeaway if people read the books about the medieval times?
Well, part of it is, as you say, there are things that are universal, and, you know, and some of the things that were going on at that time are things that are still bothering people today. But there's something that's kind of important that there's a current sort of movement among I don't know, how should I call it?
Well, Shakespearean stuff will never go.
Yeah, go
will
ahead.
Never go wait, bad.
No, it'll never go away. But there is this current movement among Aryan white supremacist groups to glorify the Middle Ages, and to say that that was the time when we had racial purity, and it was clear that Europe had cultural superiority over the rest of the world, and it was the Anglo-Saxons who went on these crusades and fought against the quote mongrel races of the East. That really is something that you hear among the white nationalists today. And it's not new, because the fascists were doing the same thing back in the 1920s. But it doesn't gel with any actual scholarship. It's just not true.
Yeah.
And one of the things I try to do in the books is to show that it isn't true. One of the main characters in both the Arthurian books and the Robin Hood books, because the way I wrote them, the Robin Hood becomes a hero right after the fall of King Arthur, which is not historical at all, but it's the way I wanted to do it.
I like how you draw the comparison there with the white supremacy and the Aryan nation, right? Because Robin Hood was a lot of us when we grew up. I grew up in Trinidad and Tobago, and I remember back then they would say Robin Hood is a legendary English outlaw who
right.
first appeared in folklore, and there were ballads dating back to the 14th century about that. And then, of course, Robin Hood became like this heroic figure that stole from the rich, gave to the poor, and then people said, oh, well, it's okay if he's an outlaw, because now he's helping the poor. So a lot of Robin Hood's life was questionable at some time, right? Because people didn't
right.
really know, they added on Maid Marian and the king and all that, but this folklore, it grabbed people, and people were like trying to figure out, well, is Robin Hood a good guy or a bad guy, right?
Right.
Depends on who you ask.
Well, what I do in the Robin Hood books is I ask, okay, why is somebody hiding out in the woods? Why aren't they sort of integrated in the rest of society? They have something that makes them different from other people. Some of the characters, Little John, for instance, he's a runaway serf because he, the life that he was living was not his own. He was essentially a slave, and he wanted freedom by running into the woods, where he becomes an outlaw. So the people who are outlaws are really outlaws because they don't fit into the society the way it is. I've got in my books, Little John and Will Stutely, who's another kind of traditional figure in Robin Hood's band, are lovers. So that's another reason. Maybe they didn't want to stay in society the way it was, and they wanted to be where they could be free. One of the characters is a dwarf named Torvald, who, in the normal society is kind of an outcast, or he's just kind of a figure of fun that people laugh at. But he can be one of Robin Hood's men. There's a one character is actually wanted for murder because he killed a man who had stolen his property, and then he had to flee. So the people that are around Robin Hood are all ways outcasts.
Yeah, and let's be honest, in today's world, if you killed a man and you went into the forest, they'll catch you. You can't survive in today's world.
Right. Well, and stealing from the rich is going to end there.
Yeah,
they don't care who you give it to.
Right. but it's so it really boggles the mind at how the the Robin Hood has been adapted into so many forms of media and literature and theater and cinema. But if you really give it a lot of thought, you would say, well, this really is not true. Because you can't survive in the woods, you know, without food and water and shelter and medicine, right?
Well, they've got food because they killed the king's deer.
Yeah,
that's right.
So they've got plenty of food, and you know they get money by robbing from the rich.
Yes. So by reading all these books, you also launch a podcast with your wife, and it's called The 100 Most Lovable Novels in English Language, which, by the way, I love books, and we grew up in a time, of course, you did too, most people did, when there was not any social media and a lot of cable channels, and so reading was it. I remember reading so many books in Trinidad, Huckleberry Finn, and, you know, all different kind of stories from the English literature, Shakespeare and all that. So you launched this podcast, and talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about this, what you launched with your wife, and how is it going?
It's I made this list by I got interested in things like the Modern Library list of the 100 greatest novels in English, and you know I looked at seven of these lists and made a kind of master list. And I read everything on the list. I'd already read probably half of it at least. And then I just picked my own. I picked my own 100 most lovable books. So they're not necessarily the greatest books, because some of the greatest books aren't fun to read.
No.
I know I've read books that were recommended as very important books and. It was a chore to read them, but the only ones that I put on my list are things that I really had, I couldn't tear myself away from reading. So my wife, who's also a novelist, she has a novel called Mr. Catherine. Her name's Stacey Margaret Jones. She said, why don't we do a podcast and we'll just talk about these books? So that's what we do.
Right.
She starts out asking me what book I want to talk about. Sometimes she's read it, sometimes she hasn't. And she asks a lot of questions, and we just have a conversation. And it's gone pretty well. We've gotten, I think, 16 by now, so I've got 84 to go. So there's plenty of them left.
Well, it was always nice when you could read a book and discuss the characters and the settings and everything. It's you bring everything alive. You know, I enjoyed it. You can imagine and be creative and do so much stuff with your books, right? So we have 2 minutes left on this segment. And what kind of books do you read yourself?
Well, I read a lot of these greatest books.
Okay.
I just
historical
just
fiction. You read a lot of history, and if somebody wanted to find your books and learn all about Robin Hood, and you know, of course, I love reading about him. He was a good archer, and he had a following of outlaws, and you know, some people say he died in 1247. I'm not sure. That's a long time ago. Where can they find your books and read all these historical fiction that you've written about King Arthur and Robin Hood?
Well, you can get them on Amazon. That's the easiest, probably. Look under J. Rood, R-U-U-D, two U's, one D. Everybody types it one U, two D's, and that's wrong, so they're not going to find it. But just go under my name, and then there'll be six King Arthur books and three Robin Hood books there. And if you want to listen to the podcast, it's called Between the Covers. You can find it if you look under shows on Apple Podcasts, but you can also find it on Spotify, and it's also on YouTube.
Wow.
If you like to watch things instead of just listen to them.
So
while
I was preparing for the show, I read that Robin Hood's real name was Robert, and they changed it to Robin Hood.
Well, as as is the case with King Arthur, there was never an actual Robin Hood. So there'll be some versions of the Robin Hood legend where they'll say his name was Robert, maybe Robert Earl of Huntington. But that's a later addition. My Robin Hood is kind of the original Robin Hood from the ballads, who didn't live during the time of Richard, King Richard the Lionhearted. That's an addition that Ivanhoe, Sir Walter Scott made in the book Ivanhoe, 400 years after Robin Hood kind of originated.
Okay, well,
how
Alan,
exciting.
And it is. I like the way he pauses when he speaks because you can tell he's thinking about it.
Absolutely.
And it is a common trait of someone who is a professor, because I could see why your students learned from you, and I could see why you decided to have a podcast, because you're very thoughtful, Mr. J. Rood. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you calling. I've learned so much from you and just researching the book.
And we'll make sure that we share your website, as well as where you can find all of these great books, which Amazon.com is always a great choice for that. But I saw that you had quite a few other ones that were on there. So we will share all of your information on cedamediainc.com. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing your breath of your story. It's awesome. Awesome. I have just a couple of public service announcements before we go to break. You could certainly stay on the phone if you'd like. Brevard Prevention Coalition is putting on a harm reduction community forum on November 14th at 6 o'clock. They'll introduce their new civic group, Do It for P. This initiative is dedicated to saving, equipping, and educating Black women about the opioid crisis and the devastating impact of fentanyl, particularly in underserved and under-resourced communities. So it's not just about race, but it's about addressing the harmful learned stigmas within that culture. So everyone's welcome to attend. It's a free community forum. It's going to be at the Joe Lee Smith Community Center, which is on Stone Street in Cocoa, from 6 to 7:15. And I will certainly share all of that information as well. We do have a food drive going on. It is the month of Thanksgiving. Food drive going on right here at the show at the radio station, which is on King Street, West King Street, one driveway east of the Cocoa Police Station. So the 4th through the 8th, which is this week from 9 to 2, they are looking for mashed potatoes, boxed mashed potatoes, I would assume, cranberries, and yams. So those are the three things that they're looking for. So if you find it in your heart that you want to add to the food drive that's happening right here at WWBC, we would certainly all appreciate that for all of the families that we'll be serving. And we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Kathy Green and the Zonta Club of Melbourne right after these messages.
Cloud Nine Mattress.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low cost sandwiches and baskets to high end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And when I tell you that our show is fun, unscripted, educational, and very valuable, trust me, it is.
Yes,
we
is.
Are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And Ellen is going to tell you all about getting
all over the world,
all
wide
over
web.
The world, and how you could tune in online.
That's right. So if you hit that 1510wwbc.com, you can hit the listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we also archive all of the shows there on the station. Just look on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share all of that information on our social media and on our website, which is sitamediainc.com.
Right. And
what a great first segment.
It was. We're very blessed here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to have people that call in from all over the United States and from all over the world, actually. And everyone's got a story to tell. And I live my life like this, dear listeners. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. If you're kind to me, I'm kind to you. And I think if we adopt that attitude that we need a cleaner, gentler, more mindful world, what a wonderful world it would be, because judging from the historical times and all those castles and things, they're all gone. They didn't take nothing with them, right?
That's
except
right.
Their good name. And that's why I love people like Kathy Green, who is the president of the Zonta Club here in Melbourne, because not only is she giving her time for the betterment of women and children and people all over the universe here, all over, you know, so many countries, she also has a job, a full-time job, but she also works and helps out at the Zonta Club. So, Kathy, You are a dedicated member of the Zonta Club here in Melbourne, and you've been part of it for 8 years. Talk to us here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your leadership roles and your skills that you brought to the Zonta Club that made you become the president of the club.
I don't know if I had leadership skills. I think I was kind of voluntold. But isn't that how most organizations
are? That's right.
Absolutely.
But they can spot a leader from a mile away
and
put them shoes on.
And passion, for sure.
Yeah.
So I do have passion. I really didn't get involved much with Zonta until after my kids had graduated high school and gone off to college. And I found that, everything I'd put into my kids, you know, along with my job, I really wanted to kind of give back to the community and help out. So one of the ladies that was very much involved, who is in another state now, Deb Bouza, I'm sure you
Yeah,
so Deb was constantly, we were involved in several different groups. She was constantly talking about Zonta. I went to a couple of the chocolate festivals and decided that this was something that was near and dear to me, you know, women and girls, especially given my background in engineering and going to a college where there was 11% women in the college. So, there was a fight, not really a fight, but, a struggle back then to be recognized. And,
equality.
Equality, exactly.
All women want, actually, in this world is equality. Just treat us with respect and show that we're valuable.
Exactly. And I think that's, a main basis behind a lot of our programs that we do. And, really building a better life for women and girls. I mean, that's truly what we try and do through our education, our advocacy of certain programs.
So that's sort of the credo of it?
Yes.
What does Zonta stand for?
Zonta basically, it's an international...
Do the letters stand for anything?
Zonta is an American Indian term, and we get our name from there.
Yeah, and for our listeners who are tuning in, the mission of the Zonta Club, Zonta International, is a leading global organization of professional empowering women worldwide through service and advocacy. And they envision a world where in which women's rights are recognized as human rights and every woman is able to achieve her full potential. And that's a good thing to have on the day just before we vote.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Because here we are fighting for women's rights all over the world as Zontians, right? Zontians.
Right? Yes, Zontians is how we do that.
We have women right here in the United States. We've got to look out for our own rights as well. And
yes.
So we implore our listeners to go out and vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's only been like 60 years since women have had the right to vote, right? 70 years, something like that. I mean, it really hasn't been that long.
It's not long.
It hasn't been that long.
Not long at all.
Right.
But to get back to your question about what Zonta means, it is a Lahota Native American word, and it basically means honest and trustworthy.
Perfect. That's
and that's, you know, one of the things that we, you know, strive to do through our organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kathy, you have been driven by a passion to help women and girls to live in fear without violence. There's so many nonprofits in town that does the same thing. But you chose Zonta because to you it spoke to you.
It did speak to me, and part of it was, you know, also, you know, being around certain people that, you know, were involved in it. And, you know, you hear more and more about certain organizations. Zonta, we joke, is like the best kept secret in Brevard.
That's right.
But we do a lot of work with our core group of people. And really, I became involved in it mostly because of, you know, the women I was exposed to in the group and how passionate they were. And I think that they really, you know, gave me that desire to continue on with the group.
Right. And one of the things that we've had Claire, when she came on the show, talk about mm-hmm. was the Chocolate Festival. And we got educated on the Chocolate Festival, so you're going to be taking over that, and you also have 16 days of activism.
We do. We have our 16 days of activism. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks. It runs from November 25th through December 10th. And part of what we're doing this year is we're doing something a little different. In the past, we've sold luminaries, and we've asked everyone to light up the sky orange on the 10th of December. But this year, we have Donna Melcher and I went to Brisbane, Australia, for our international conference. And one of the things they had there was what they called their Orange Ladies. So it's just it's a cutout of an orange lady. Ours are going to be 4 foot high, and they're going to say, Zonta says no to violence against women, and a QR code on it. So people can scan the QR code. It's going to take them back to our website and, you know, give them information about what Zonta does, information about domestic violence, human trafficking, the topics no one wants to really talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to talk about a couple stories because I want to bring this local here, the information. Quite a few years ago when Claire was on, we were talking about Zonta. Folks always think about, oh, there's human trafficking going on somewhere else. Mm-mm. Like, no. And Florida was one of the rated, like in the top five, if I remember correctly, of human trafficking instances. And we had something happen, and it wasn't that long ago. It was in the last 5 or 6 years that there was a raid actually at one of the hotels right next to 95 and 192. So it's like that close. Like they arrested and got like 65 women, I believe it was, 65 women and children that they rescued because of that particular raid. And then I was at another event that we had that was for Jeannie Whitman had put on, that mm-hmm. She Beautiful Skin had put on. And there was a young woman there, again, 20 in her early 20s, maybe late 20s, and talked about how her father and mother sold her as a slave, as a sex slave, in a very prominent neighborhood to people that actually, when she walked into her middle school, she actually saw her gym teacher who had purchased her as a sex slave early in her life.
Right.
So when we say things like, oh, this doesn't happen here, it certainly does happen here. And the fact that Zonta is here and so prevalent and so great about educating people and helping with Sheriff Wade and Ivy and trying to really unmask what's going on. Think about the kids that are dropped off in vans selling magazines at your houses door to door. All of that stuff has something to do with it.
Well,
so
you know,
I just want to bring it home to make sure
right.
that everybody knows it does happen here in Brevard County, and it is important for us to be active in Zonta Club in some way.
Well, and this is why people like Kathy Green, who is the president of the Zonta Club here in Melbourne, when we say the Zonta Club is continuously seeking opportunities to make a positive impact on the lives of women and children, what you are doing, Kathy, with the 16 Days of Activism and bringing it all to women and children and domestic violence and all that, it's important. And people have to understand, when you vote, that powerful vote, you're voting for immigration reform. How many people are trafficked on the border?
And there's a lot. I mean, there's
every day we wake up
day,
to something
every
going
day,
on, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and it does happen here in Brevard County. There was that
attorney.
Well, not only that, but there was that bail bondsman just last week that, you know, that was doing human trafficking, domestic violence with those women that, you know, he was forcing them to have sex for bail money.
We're in real estate. Nadine Cavalier lost her life to domestic violence not that long ago as well. Again, you would have never expected. She was somebody that was in the business world, never would have expected that she was experiencing
those
things.
Well, and you know, Claire, when Claire was here with the Zonta Club, with what you're doing in other places, other countries, a lot of children are born at home with no birth certificate.
Right.
And those children are trafficked. The parents
right,
are
because
so
there's
poor.
There's no way to trace them.
There's no tracing.
You know, yeah.
And so I always say, when people say, oh, I don't want to get involved in politics, I say to them, well, think about those people on the border who are coming with a little baby with no social security card, no green card, and they're handing this child over to someone that they don't even know. What do you think's going to happen? We will have children trafficked.
We will. We will. And just to get back to what Ellen said, Central Florida area, our whole strip across it, you know, from Tampa to Orlando to the ports out here that we have, and then plus we're on the pipeline from 95 from Miami up to New York. Central Florida is like number one in the state of Florida.
It's a hub.
It is a hub, and we're also, Florida is like number three in the nation. It's right up there behind California, Texas, and then Florida.
So what can we do to help Zonta Club and ourselves and our community to spread the word about human trafficking? Because people sit back and they say, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen here. But it is happening.
So one of the things is, you know, we do have information on our website that you can go to, zontaspacecoast.org, that has phone numbers and stuff you can call to get help. And, you know, if you see something, say something. You know, if you're wrong, then okay, you were wrong. But if you were right, you could save someone's life. So,
But it's those things like the children who are selling these little dollar store items and saying that they're raising money to fight drugs in school.
Yeah, I don't see that as much anymore. I think, thank God for the awareness that everybody here in Brevard,
right,
and Sheriff Ivy, of course.
But it's those types of things.
Down.
If it seems weird, like, why is this child out at a certain time? Or why is this child doing fundraising and there's no adult around? Like, these were, you know, under 10-year-olds.
Right.
So we have to watch that kind of stuff.
Well,
and those
think,
are the see something, say something things.
Well,
like, if this doesn't make sense.
Oftentimes, it's the zip code as well. We need to put resources into all communities. Because you don't see that happen in the affluent communities. You see that happen in other places.
No, I saw it happening in Merritt Island. And
yeah.
Merritt Island was pretty affluent area that was
happening.
They
drop them off. They drop a whole truckload of them off.
But when you're educated about stuff, you're able to call 911
exactly.
and say, but in a lot of communities, people are not educated because we don't pour the resources into those communities. And I know that for a fact because that one happened in Tortoise Island with the guards, would it? Because you'll have to call the gate. But anyways,
right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But you know, it's not just the kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in terms of, like, you know, looking at it, you know, people that you work with. I mean, people that seem to miss a lot of work, you know, that kind of thing. That's one of the things that we're also in discussions with employers on, you know, instead of penalizing these employees because they may miss work because they've been abused, and then they can't show up at work, and then next thing you know, they're fired, and they're trapped in this whole
cycle. Yeah,
this whole cycle,
and also dating as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the bar owners are starting to educate the bartenders at all of the establishments that if someone comes up and orders an angel shot, that means that person is in danger, and either call the police or they need to be escorted to their car or something needs to happen. And there was also this hand signal that nobody obviously can see on the radio show, but it's where you tuck your thumb in and you sort of wave with your other
four
fingers.
I mean, the pizza delivery guy got a receipt that says, I need help. So, Kathy, there's a lot of people out there that there's so many charities in Brevard. And what would you say to someone who says, I don't know if Zonta is the right club for me? Your 30-second spiel as a president when you meet people and you try to get them to become a Zontian.
So I think that one of the things is, you know, finding out we aren't actually just about domestic violence and human trafficking. We have some other things that we do. And just coming to one of our meetings, just come and hear what we do. You don't have to pay anything. You know, you can come to a meeting, just hang out, just ask some questions. You know, really, if you have any kind of desire to help women and children, we have several different programs that we can help you out with.
And what does it cost to be a member, and do you have to be invited in?
No, well, you don't have to be invited in. Mm-hmm. Anyone can join.
Okay.
And membership is $50 a year.
Which is,
you know, very reasonable.
Much,
I mean, that's, you know, not anything big at all. So you can be a member. We also have, you know, we have a club that's at Melbourne High School. And then, you know, we have been looking to try and get, you know, clubs at colleges so that, you know, it's for everyone. It's for every age.
Right. And, you know, when you're having coffee with your friends or with your coworkers, or maybe you're just chatting with people wherever, which I could talk to just about anybody and get a conversation going, everyone says, I want a world where it's free of violence, where people don't live in fear and hate and envy and jealousy. And people talk about women. But you guys are taking that extra step, not just to help women here in the United States, but Zonta International is all over the world.
So, we are.
Yeah, so tell our listeners here, Kathy Green, some of the things that you guys are doing around the world to help women and children. Because in some countries, you just give a woman a goat, and she could milk that goat and sell the milk. Or you just buy a sewing machine, and they can sew clothes and take care of their family, and they're not under the foot of a man to have all that violence against them.
And that's true. And some of the initiatives we have done and also participated in is sponsoring girls to actually stay in school, because a lot of places it costs to educate girls, and a lot of countries don't place value on women. So the girls only go to a certain, you know, fifth grade or something, and then that's about it. But we have, you know, we have helped to sponsor some girls to go all the way through high school. You know, the sponsorship includes basically everything, their food, their board, their education, their clothing. And it's like $100 a month for one girl.
Like, who would have thought, like, some women don't have a bra?
Yeah.
I remember when Claire Ellis talked to us about the bras and bras, right?
Well, that was Jeannie's thing.
And Claire did too.
Yeah,
Claire.
Yeah. No, they were all part
and
of it.
Shoes,
right.
And Claire,
yeah.
They and collected shoes. Yes. I remember those days when we were growing up and when we didn't have as well, and it's made me an advocate too. But there's so much more going on in Brevard with the Zonta Club. When is the Chocolate Festival? Do we have a date for
it
as yet?
Our Chocolate Festival is March 2nd. It's at the Grand Manor, and it will actually be our 20th Chocolate Festival this upcoming year.
Congrats. That's good news.
Yes. And as you've said before, it's always amazing. We have between 8 to 10 creators of a chocolate creation, I guess is the best way to describe it.
And the best ever. And you want to go to the places like the week before the chocolate festival, because they actually let you sample a little. They actually like kind of get you primed up a little.
Yes.
So there you go.
And it's good that Zonta International is a global, organization. Because there's people that are tuning into our show from all parts of the world, and they're looking for something to do. Now, a lot of folks are retired. You don't have to give a lot of time with Zonta International or Zonta Club of Melbourne. What are you guys looking for when someone volunteers? You want a certain set of skill set, of course, and you want people to have compassion and empathy and come in there with the mindset that they can make a difference.
really just someone, as you said, that's willing to give of their time and participate. We have several projects that we're doing. We pack intake and outtake bags for Serene Harbor. We work with Salvation Army's domestic violence group, and we're actually doing a Christmas meal for the kids, putting on Christmas for them. And so there's just a lot of things. We just really want someone that, really wants to help. Yeah. And to donate some of their time. And it doesn't need to be a lot of time.
Right. And you and Donna, you guys went to Australia. So talk to our listeners a little bit about how was that gathering with all the Zontians in Australia?
It was amazing. There were 64 women from 64 different countries represented there. And, over 1,700 women all together, all doing the same thing, all with the same mindset for helping women and girls. And just, the synergy in the room was amazing. Yes. Just
empowering.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely very empowering.
Yeah, and you had people from India there too.
We did.
You guys told me. But when I think about such a gathering with so many women, you want to say to people that education should start for our boys and girls when the minute they start walking and talking.
Yes.
So that we don't have to fight this fight forever, because we're going to leave the planet one day, and we want to leave a better footprint behind. We want to leave the planet a better place than we found it, right? And we have so many organizations that have to be advocates for women and children. And like you just said, in some countries, they're all interested in childbearing women so they could reproduce, right?
Right.
How do we help our nation, our world, so that boys and men are also educated, so that we don't have to worry about this violence, because they should take some responsibility and accountability for their actions as well?
Well, obviously it starts at home, and like you said, when they're young, and just, learning the respect for women and not seeing, the violence towards them. It's unfortunate, because we have so many countries that is just the norm. And it's something that just is going to need to be overcome.
Yeah. And the website for Zonta Club of Melbourne?
Is zontaspacecoast.org.
Yeah, I see.
And Kathy is also a very prominent leader in the real estate industry here. She's with Ellington Property. So make sure that you check her out as well as
yeah,
Zonta.
Feel free to give your phone number, Kat, because,
yeah.
when we have people that come on our show, we give people a platform here, and We thank you for being part of Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends and supporting us, and we should support. It's about women empowering women.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right. Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah, so
yeah, exactly.
Give your phone number and your title. Go for it.
Kathy Green. I'm a realtor with Ellingson Properties, and my direct phone number is 321-258-4378.
Another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. Thank you, Mr. Jay Root, for calling in about your Shakespearean Robin Hood books. I'm so excited.
Men in Tights.
And then, of course, we always love to hear about Zonta. So thank you for participating and being part of that great organization, Kathy. Folks, we will be here next Monday, each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on 1510 WWBC. Thanks for tuning in to Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends.
That's a wrap. Thank you.